Dakota has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
Greetings, everybody. How is it going? This is Tyler Dunn here with Robert McGinn. Bob, how are we doing today?
Good. Very excited for the show here today, Tyler.
Got the Keurig all fired up over there?
Yeah.
Now, you didn't microwave that coffee today, did you?
I did.
You did. You did microwave. So it's not hot enough.
Sound like it's real hot, Tyler.
Okay. I think Keurig gets the job done.
What's on your cup over there?
This is straight from your high school alma mater, right?
Escanaba Holy Name High School.
Escanaba.
Yeah.
That's somewhere up there by Canada.
Darn close.
Close.
The last frontier, Tyler. God's country, all right?
So Escanaba, that's the hometown. And what was the high school, the team name?
The Escanaba Holy Name Crusaders.
The Crusaders, that's right.
School's been gone for 40 years.
It's been gone for 40 years.
It closed the year after I got out.
What did you do?
I didn't do anything except cry, if you want to know the truth.
Why? Yeah. What happened? Why did they close down?
Some crazy financial situation with the diocese.
The diocese, ooh.
Not good. One of the great disappointments of my life. It truly is. I love that school, and I would have supported that thing for the last 40-some years. Yep.
And so the kids there just went to other schools?
Went to the public school, right.
Okay.
Yeah, Catholic education went away at the secondary level.
Wow. All righty. Well, hey, let's jump right into it here. The Packers evened up at 3-3. All is not lost, apparently. They were 2-3 going into Houston, stared at an undefeated Texans team with another trip to St. Louis on the road. Things were pretty dire, and, you know, a lot of the players insisted it wasn't a must win, but the urgency was pretty high, they admitted. They had to stay focused and really get a win down there against a good Texans team. Initial thoughts, Bob?
It blew them away. Their offense looked like tremendous. They didn't let J.J. Watt dominate the game. Man, they made Jordy Nelson made Jonathan Joseph look bad, and James Jones beat Kareem Jackson. And these are pretty good players, and they made them look pretty ordinary.
And really, after one overthrow, his first drive, Aaron Rodgers was pretty much perfect the rest of the game.
I would agree all the way. He threw the ball beautifully.
Yeah.
So he had... Good. The line did the job against a good, really good front. I mean, they have four good rushers.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking Connor Barwin, Brooks Reed.
Antonio Smith is a good player.
They drafted Merciless. They obviously J.J. Well, they have a lot of guys you can throw at you.
Yeah.
And the line did a nice job.
You know, Tyler, when we were our colleague, Tom Silverstein, we were talking about, you know, we pick games straight up. I pick against my son and some friends, you know, and Tom does it for the paper. I said, who'd you take, you know? And he went with Houston. No, he went with Green Bay. I'm sorry. He went with Green Bay. And then on Cleveland-Cincinnati, he went with the 0-5 Browns. And he just said, you know, it's time. Teams just aren't going to sustain unbeaten or winless streaks. I guess he's right. I don't know. That just shows you how good the Packers were to go 13-0 last year, really.
It does. Right. I mean, it's tough to win a football game in this league.
Yeah.
It really is. And I think that at some point you had to expect Green Bay's offense would start looking like the team from last year. And I guess when it rains, it pours. I mean, that's really the story here.
I mean, they've been missing on all these downfield throws. Yeah. And, you know, whether it's dropped or off the fingertips, there's been a lot of them. I mean, the takeoff route he threw to Jordy Nelson was the first long pass they had completed all year.
You're right.
The one long had been 49 yards to James
and
Jones.
And that was kind of a
scramble situation.
Yeah, a scramble.
25 yards after the catch. Yeah. They had not hit a takeoff. How many do you think they hit last year, I wonder?
Well, I know they had at least a 40, 50-yarder in 8 or 9 of the games. I mean, it's just kind of...
25, old. Maybe? I mean, yeah. 22 of those, yeah. And now one in 6 games.
And so we were talking to Tom Clements, the offensive coordinator, earlier this week, and you know, and he puts this game by Rodgers right up there with some of his best ever. I mean, he mentioned that the Atlanta playoff game was really tough to beat. I mean, you were there for that playoff game a couple of years ago. You know, what did Aaron Rodgers do that game, and is this one this past weekend on that level for him?
I certainly do remember the Atlanta playoff game. The noise was incredible. You know, Atlanta was the top seed, I think.
You're right.
And, boy, there were some throws. It was like 3rd and 15 right off the bat. They're coming out of their own end after the opening kickoff, and he threw Jennings on a seam route. I just shook my head. The place was it's one of the loudest I'd ever been in, and he just drilled that ball in there. It was just all downhill for the Falcons after that.
And so no Greg Jennings. I mean, those three receivers all stepped up. Jordy Nelson, like you said, beating a very good cornerback all game off the line. Randall Cobb in the slot. And James Jones. I mean, here's a guy 2 years ago who had some big drops, big-time drops that same Super Bowl season. And this year, he's been making some of the most difficult catches in the league, league-wide.
I mean, you've done – I got Jones for no drops right now. You've done a lot with Jones. I mean, you know a lot about his the workout routine. I mean, how did he do it? He's an improved player, right?
Yeah, he has to be. I mean, leads the league in touchdowns here. And really his trainer out in California just really emphasized that, I mean, this guy showed up. He was looking for a place to train this past offseason. Walked in there and said that he just wanted to go to work and that he wanted to approach this like a rookie, attack every day, and that's kind of what he did. I thought it was interesting, too, at the time when the trainer told me this. It sounded kind of out there because you have all these other receivers and Jones was kind of lost in the shuffle at times. But the trainer said that James Jones wants to be a Pro Bowler. He wants to be a 1,000-yard receiver. He wants to be known as one of the better wide receivers in the league. And I think every player would say that. But for him to say it within this offense with so many other weapons there, so many other options, I think it really speaks highly. I mean, he says all the right things. He said all the right things last year early on when he wasn't getting the ball at all. Didn't he kind of came off the field fast in the opener and wouldn't answer questions immediately after that.
Yeah.
After that, he kind of said all the right things. But underneath, you know that the guy's a competitor. He wants the ball. He wants those opportunities. And out of anybody on the team, he makes the most of his opportunities.
Yeah, he really has. Yeah. And I don't know what to say about Randall Cobb right now other than it's all good, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he's taken Donald Driver's role in the slot. And he's kind of being as productive as Donald was, you know, at least in the last year or two. I'm not saying he's Driver at his prime. He's just definitely not yet. Driver wasn't exactly chopped liver. But Cobb has been fine. Yeah. Really good. After the catch, he runs like a running back. He doesn't want to go down. It's impressive.
Remember T. Martin, his coach at Kentucky, who's now at USC, I believe, said that Randall Cobb is like an F-150. You know, everybody knew about the speed. They knew about the athleticism. But like you just said, he's a tough guy. He's tough after the catch.
Yeah.
Now, my question for you, Bob, is here's somebody who's their punt returner, who's their kick returner, brings a lot of value to that return game, which is something they haven't had around here in a long time. At what point, maybe it's next year when Greg Jennings is gone, I mean, do they really have this guy focus in at wide receiver? I mean, you've seen this with the Antonio Freemans of the world, the Robert Brookses of the world, where guys kind of start off as returners and ascend into a...
Yeah.
But he's so valuable as a returner, too. I mean, are they throwing too much at him?
You know, returners kind of... Sometimes they kind of lose it after a bit. They just lose the... I don't know what word you would call, but the courage to take it up in there on kickoffs. And just the punt thing is so hard that it just kind of moves to that situation. Okay. I think, yeah, they're going to have to get another returner because this guy needs to be on the field as a receiver. He's playing, what, 30, 35 snaps now? He's going to be playing 50, 55. Mm-hmm. Too much of a strain. They got to get another returner. They have to.
And you can't expect Greg Jennings to be coming back anytime in the immediate future, I guess. So, I mean, they need Randall Cobb on offense.
So how long do you think Jennings will be out?
Well, we're taping this Thursday night.
Right.
The sense I get is that he's still going to take a few weeks here.
So maybe Jacksonville next week, he doesn't play there?
I would think so. I don't think he's going to rush this thing back. If they can move the ball without him, unless he's 100% certain that he can get out there and be himself, I mean, he made it pretty clear that He wants to be 100% the guy that's getting separation, can stretch the field deep. He hasn't even tested it yet. He hasn't gotten on the field and ran to test it out quite yet. So he's being patient. He's taking a lot of time.
So they got the Rams, Jacks, Arizona, then they got a bye. I mean, it's possible he might not play till November 18 at Detroit.
If you're Green Bay, why not take it to the bye week? I mean, you should be able to beat those teams with what you have. If you can't beat those teams with what you have, I mean, you might have bigger problems.
Well, they couldn't beat the Colts with what they had. I mean, you know.
Yeah, anything can happen.
So, right.
Let's move on. Now, got to move to the other side of the ball here a little bit.
Sure.
You wrote a very interesting column the day of the game about the defensive group's effort. They gave a pretty good effort against Houston.
Boy, did they ever.
What are your thoughts? Did they answer the call, answer the bell here?
They certainly did. I mean, starting with Clay Matthews. I mean.
Yeah. I liked what you said in the paper. Like, he usually runs like his hair is on fire, but it was even beyond that this game.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah. I mean, I'm sure, human nature, he wanted to outperform J.J. Watt. They are the two top candidates for Defensive Player of the Year. I mean, right now, things can change. Pierre Paul could get in there, and DeMarcus Ware, who knows. But I'm sure he wanted to outperform JJ.
Yeah.
Just trashing tight ends in the running game, huh?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what Houston had to do, was to get that zone stretch thing going, and he single-handedly really stopped it from happening.
Yeah.
It blew by, I mean, a really good tackle, Brown over there.
Dwayne Brown.
Yeah, I mean, the guy couldn't even get a glove on him. He dipped underneath him, hits Foster for minus two. And then that's just the way it went. Foster carries 17 times with a long of five. Hmm. Are you kidding? So, they rallied to the football. There was chase. There was defensive linemen backtracking, getting back into stuff. It was impressive all the way around.
And just back to Matthews, teams try to run away from this guy, right? And they can't. A lot of his tackles are from behind. He chases plays down.
True. When they do try to run away from, you don't block that backside guy.
Mm-hmm.
But you know how quickly he flattens down?
Yeah.
I mean, he reads. He's not undisciplined, so he's not vulnerable to reverses and all that. So he takes a quick look. And then he flattens so fast, and he's chased on a lot of stuff from behind. Well, I know one of the plays the Texans ran the other day, they doubled a wide receiver behind Schaub after the handoff to Foster
to hold Matthews.
I saw it happen once. I would think other teams are going to start showing that too.
Didn't Green Bay used to do that a ton with Amon Green? It seemed like half the runs they did, they faked the reverse.
You're right.
You don't really see that a lot.
No, a driver used to come back double around on a reverse. Yeah. You don't see it much. It's one way to do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You hate to take a blocker out of your box and block that guy, but with Matthews, I mean, all bets are off.
Yeah.
I've hardly ever seen anything like this.
Yeah, it's easy to get caught up into the highlights and him flexing his muscles and all that, but the guy does the little things too. I mean, he's disciplined and he plays the run as well as anybody. I want to ask you a little bit. I did a story on this in our newspaper for Friday. The interior pass rush. Mike Neal, Jarrell Worthy, obviously have Mike Daniels. They'll get Raji back from injury at some point. They have a lot of guys they can really throw in there now, especially Neal, Worthy. I mean, those are two new faces, and it seems like the interior rush is starting to get to where they want it to be.
So let's talk about Worthy, Tyler. You talked to him today?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He had his best sack, best moment, really, when he beat Antoine Caldwell, the right guard. All right, so Worthy's a second-round pick. What about Mr. Worthy, you know?
You know, his challenge, it seemed, was really timing this snap. I mean, he was known for his quick first step there at Michigan State, and you saw in training camp and even in the games, he'd get some offside penalties, so he has to be more disciplined with that. And if he times it right, I mean, he's a quick guy, and if he can give you two, three plays like that a game, I mean, that's almost worth it there. And if you can stay disciplined elsewhere, he's giving you what you need. I mean, he's pretty raw. He probably still needs some work on staying disciplined. I mean, you see him as well. It does seem like he can get kind of caught out of position at times. But overall, I mean, if it seems like he still has that burst, and it's funny, as soon as you sleep on this guy and you think he's kind of having a disappointing season, he comes back with a play that surprises you.
It was his best game, I think,
yeah.
And he had a tackle for loss, which was impressive when the backup right guard, Ben Jones, pulled, and He blew that thing up and made a tackle in the backfield. I mean, we haven't seen huge things out of Worthy, but
no,
it's been all right.
I agree. And Mike Neal, I mean, straight out the suspension has given them something, and I think that's more than what a lot of people expected heading into the season.
You would say both Worthy and Neal right now are better interior rushers than Mike Daniels?
I'd say so.
Yeah. It may not necessarily stay like that.
Right.
And I still like Daniels' temperament and his aggressiveness. I really do.
Yeah.
He gets the last shove, and he doesn't want people's hands on him. You could see that from the first week of camp. I mean, I like the guy in that regard.
Yeah.
But he hasn't shown all that much.
And he didn't play a lot this past week, just kind of in toward the end of the game, right?
Yeah.
I just think it's safe to say that, I mean, last year when things were going south, I think the stat was in their last six games last year, they had 7 sacks and 13 other quarterback hits. Mm-hmm. The first six games this year, it's in my stride, you don't got it right in front of me, but it's, you know, it was more than double that. I mean, it was a lot.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, things are on the right track. If you can hold on here, let's see. Yep, 21 sacks, 18 other hits through the first six games compared to 7 sacks and 13. So, I mean, it's a big difference.
Yeah, it is.
And I think that a lot of that is due to that interior pass rush. So, see if they keep it up.
Right.
Because they wore down last year. That was the problem is guys are playing a ton of snaps. You know, early in the year, they were hitting the quarterback. They were getting after guys. They weren't necessarily getting the sacks, but they were hitting the quarterback. That really started to go south toward the end of the year, and a lot of that had to be Raji, Jarius Wynn, C.J. Wilson, Pickett. I mean, they didn't have a lot of options on the defensive line, and it cost them.
Jarius Wynn has had about 4 or 5 tryouts. He is still not on a roster. I guess that tells you something, huh?
4 or 5 tryouts.
He did not play well this summer. I really don't know why, unless he wasn't in – I don't think Jarius is a guy who's in great, great shape. He's got some ability. No, he does, and he's got some size that would make him attractive to 3-4 and 4-3 teams, but – he can't get placed, and when you think about it, this guy played a pretty prominent role for most of last season.
And on the Super Bowl team.
Yeah.
And how does he not find a home, you think?
Just bad tape this summer. He really had bad tape.
Yeah. I'd be hard-pressed to see Anthony Hargrove find a team here with all that. It's another story. But it seems like they have the right guys right now. All right, we got to move on to the St. Louis Rams, Bob. Much different Rams team than the one that came to Lambeau Field and lost 24-3. You got the roster in front of you. Scouting report was in the paper today. What do you see? I mean, it seems like the defense is pretty solid. Offense really lacks playmakers.
Yeah, they do. Danny Amendola, the wide receiver, he's just like Wes Welker, and he's darn good.
Just like Wes Welker.
Really, that's the way he plays the game. And Sam Bradford, that was his guy for 3 years. Amendola came from nowhere, you know. So he's out. Broken collarbone or something like that. They really don't have a wide receiver. This Chris Givens, a second round pick from Wake Forest, he can really run. He's got 350 plus catches the last 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. He can run. He's not tough. I mean, he won't do stuff in the middle of the field, but he is a threat. And off play action, you know, he can do some things. Brandon Gibson, he's okay. Austin Pettis, he's okay. Brian Quick is behind mentally. Steve Smith has never recovered from the knee. So they don't have much. Tight end. A Milwaukee guy, Lance Kendricks, he's okay. So, you know, it's really Bradford. And should we talk about his offensive line, Tyler?
Yeah. What do you see there?
It's probably the worst in the league. On paper, it's got to be. I think it is. I mean, I haven't researched that.
Worst in the league?
I don't know. Paul Boudreau is a guy who's been in the league 30 years coaching O-lines. And he's a tough old guy. He was in Detroit for a long time. He could be NFL assistant coach of the year. He's the front runner in my eyes. Look at this group. They lose center Scott Wells, the ex-Packer, in the first half of the first game with a broken foot. Roger Saffold, a decent left tackle, out with a knee. He's missed most of the whole season. He's not playing this week. So you got two good players. Rokivius Watkins, a fifth-round pick, was going to start at left guard. He's on IR. So you got three starters missing. Let's look what they got. Now, I talked to a couple, three scouts. Harvey Dahl, a former Falcon, he's feisty, he's aggressive, he's tough, but really he's got no feet. So he's their best player.
Wow.
Yeah, he's the right guard.
He's got good feet, Bob.
He is the best player. All right. The only other competent guy is the center, Rob Turner. He started at, he backed up for 4 or 5 years with the Jets.
The only other competent guy.
I don't know what how Boudreaux's doing this, and I don't know how Sam Bradford is moving the ball. I really don't.
I mean, look at, we got
to pause
this
to Green Bay's O-line, Tyler.
Let's pause this for a second. I mean, you have a franchise quarterback that you drafted first overall.
Yes, sir.
And this is the team you put around him?
You know, they got three starters out. They paid huge money for Wells. Some in the league would say they overpaid. And the guy gets hurt, you know? Saffold, you lose your left tackle. I mean, where would Green Bay be without Jason, sitting in Balaga right now?
You could say Jason Smith. I mean, their second overall pick, a few years ago from Baylor.
And
he just...
He was a bust.
Yeah, he was a bust, so...
So they traded him to the Jets in late August, straight up for Wayne Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Wayne Hunter, you know, he started for the Jets the last couple of years. He gave up a million sacks. He was constantly on the back page of the New York tabloids for how, you know, lead-footed he was. He's starting at left tackle. Tyler, he's a right tackle or a guard. He is starting. Now he's getting beat all the time around the edge. But because they can run the ball, mm-hmm. it's not been horrific. The other starters.
So Clay Matthews is licking his chops.
At Wayne Hunter, and Wayne didn't practice on Wednesday because of a back injury. I haven't checked today. Okay, the right tackle, Barry Richardson. He started last year for the Chiefs when they beat Green Bay. He started 2 years there. He opposed Clay Matthews last year. He didn't get killed. He's a huge guy, but again, now this is, the Chiefs let him walk. They didn't have a real replacement. They let him walk. I think mid-May, Rams gave him $100,000 only signing bonus. He's the starting right tackle. He's very vulnerable. And the worst starter is Quinn Ojanaka, the left guard. This is his fourth team. You watch any tape of this guy, Tyler, he's constantly getting walked back. He really can handle sudden moves on either side of him. He's a total liability. That's your offensive line.
Wow. Wow. So you have to expect Green Bay, and they can play a little aggressive this game if they want.
Yeah.
If they want to blitz, they should be able to blitz because who's going to beat you at wide receiver? Who's going to stop Clay Matthews wherever he's lining up? Why not just bring it if you're Dom Capers this game?
And it just shows you how good, and Capers been doing a lot of blitzing, Tyler. Mm-hmm. It just shows you how good these two backs are, Steven Jackson,
yeah.
the great Steven Jackson, and Daryl Richardson, a kid from Abilene Christian, a seventh-round pick. I mean, they got no line. They really have very little threat downfield. And these guys have been controlling games, running the ball good, both of them.
I believe they have 7 offensive touchdowns this year. Is that right?
7 or 8.
7 or 8. So, I mean, it's... What is St. Louis's best chance to win this game? I mean, how do they trade blows with Green Bay? They obviously don't want to get into a shootout.
No, they can't win a shootout. They have some running backs, right? So maybe they can score 21. Now the Ram defense. Have you seen them a little bit, Tyler?
Good deep. You know, they have a decent core on D with Chris Long, James Laurinaitis. I like the two corners a lot, Cortland Finnegan, Janoris Jenkins. I mean, very, very different secondary than the one that trudged into Lambeau Field here. I mean, that was an absolute mess.
Now, you mentioned some of the names they were playing at cornerback last year. Can you remind the listeners of those CBs, Tyler?
I mean, what was left of Al Harris, I mean, that was on his last legs, and that's an understatement. Green Bay really took advantage of that. I believe they had Josh Gordy, who Green Bay did not keep around in training camp. He was on the bubble. But they had like 6 guys injured coming into that game in the secondary. I mean, really, really banged up. And the Packers, they took advantage early on. I think Rodgers had over 300 yards. Didn't do much in the second half, but the secondary couldn't hold up. Where this one, you're talking Cortland Finnegan. You want to talk about somebody that gets under somebody's skin. Probably the feistiest corner in the league there. A good get for them in free agency. And Janoris Jenkins, I mean, we were at the combine, Bob. Was that not the most awkward 15 minutes ever in NFL scouting combine history when he talked to the media?
You told me about that. I didn't see a whole lot of it. So how did Janoris play out that day, Tyler? You were there.
Well, he's got a lot of baggage, Bob, obviously. Multiple marijuana charges, arrests, and somebody asked him how many kids he had. I believe it's 4, Janoris, Janorian. A couple other names I can't remember, but they were a little out there. And just, you know, it's just a different press conference. I'll leave it at that.
All right.
The guy has talent. I mean, when he was in the SEC at Florida, he shut down AJ Green, shut down Julio Jones, gets kicked out of Florida, goes to North Alabama, and he falls to the second round in the draft. A lot of teams just took him off the board completely for those reasons alone. off to a really good start at St. Louis. Him and Finnegan have really played well together. That's probably the strength of this team.
It might be. Now, Tyler, all right, you watch Jenkins. Yeah, he closes on the ball quick. He can shadow people. He can mirror. He can do all that. But he's undisciplined, just like he is off the field.
Is he?
And I just think the Packers are going to burn him for at least one long touchdown. Against Miami, I mean, I don't even know. His eyes were in the backfield. What he was thinking, I don't know. And a guy by the name of Marlon Moore just ran by him for a 29-yard touchdown. I mean, it was the easiest thing that Tannehill has ever seen. I saw this play. It's ridiculous. And he's done this a lot. He bites, he peeks, he does all kinds of things. So Jordy Nelson or somebody is going to run a double move, and there will be a touchdown behind him.
Marking, can we write that down here?
That one you can. I am going to predict that.
Guaranteed. We going 60 or are we going 70 yards here?
Whatever the length of the field when this ball snapped.
I want to ask you about this too, Bob, because at the Combine, did a story on this, talking to some former GMs and just how they weigh off-the-field concerns. Yeah. And marijuana is a big one. I mean, different teams have different policies. You know, Herm Edwards said when he was a coach, he didn't really consider it as that big of a deal. He said he grew up in the 70s, but he was blacklisted, and he said, does a guy learn from his mistakes? Does he love the game of football? Does he legitimately love the game? And if the answer isn't, you know, gung-ho, then he moved on. But Joe Gibbs, a guy at the Redskins, Vinny Serrato, was saying, didn't want anybody that had anything to do with marijuana on his rap sheet. They completely were taken off the board. You talk to a lot of people in the league. A guy like Janoris Jenkins wasn't on some people's boards. I mean, how do GMs kind of differ with marijuana?
Well, there's a lot more marijuana use, I think, now among college football players than there was even, I don't want to be naive, 10 or 15 years ago. I think it's very widespread among players. And so guys are funking drug tests at schools all the time. And this information, they ask these kids these questions at the Combine or interviews at the Senior Bowl or wherever. And these guys are conditioned. They just cannot lie. So they tell these teams everything as if, but the teams know a lot anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, if anybody who had a positive marijuana test was eliminated, your board would be, you know, pretty thin. So guys who test positive at the Combine, I mean, that's the worst thing because that's stupidity.
Right.
If you can't knock this stuff off before you know you're getting a test. But there's a lot more tolerance for this drug right now in the NFL than there used to be, certainly.
That right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I guess if you are going into the biggest job interview of your life and you get caught, that's probably not a good sign. But let's get back to some football, Bob. What else you got on the Rams?
Let's talk about the Ram defense. I mean, that's really the best of the strength of their team. The offense didn't sound too impressive. Their D, they get after it pretty good. Really, the whole unit's pretty good, you know. You got two outside pass rushers. Chris Long's an outstanding defensive end. You got Robert Quinn, second-year guy. Was he the 12th pick in the draft or 14th? The guy can fly off the edge. I mean, this is a player Marshall Newhouse can handle because he has good feet. But I've seen Quinn against Arizona, a really poor left tackle, Baptiste. Quinn beat him inside and outside.
Oh.
And he's going to be getting off the ball at the Jones Dome. He's a factor. And they got a couple other D linemen, William Hayes and Eugene Sims. Both these guys have some pass rush quickness and explosion. Sometimes they line up inside and nickel and dime, and they're threats. I mean, they got a decent four-man rush.
Yeah.
Inside, you got Michael Brockers, a high pick from LSU. He had a high ankle sprain, missed a lot of the summer and first three games. He's back. I mean, he's a big power pusher, pocket pusher. And Kendall Langford, a former five technique in Miami. He's not bad either. He plays the other DT. So somebody their front's good.
Green Bay took a look at in free agency.
Langford, yes, they did. Good point. He can play the 3-4. You mentioned Laurinaitis. He's a really good middle linebacker. Plays every snap. I mean, I just think I like him. You do too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. On the outside, they got a guy from the Saints. And, you know, the Saints don't have any linebackers. The Saints gave up on Jolon Dunbar. And every time I see Dunbar, man, the guy's a hitter. He's a fierce competitor. I know he's not good taking on blocks, but he can run and hit. He's pretty impressive. And he plays in a nickel. He plays almost every snap, too. The other guy's not bad. Rocky McIntosh started for the Redskins for years. I think he's all right on the Sam. He replaced Brady Papinga, The ex-Pack who started there last year for Steve Spagnuolo's. That's
probably an upgrade.
Crew, I would think.
Yeah.
So that's their D. And the safeties are shaky now. Okay. That's the problem. They got good corners. The safeties, no range, really. Craig Dahl and Quentin Michael. Michael's tough in the box, but he can't play. You want to talk about the kicker, Tyler? You know about Mr. Greg Zuerlein, right?
They call him Legatron, right?
That I haven't heard. It's amazing, his numbers, right?
It is. It is. That's the kind of game the Rams are going to have to play. They're going to have to win special teams. The defense is going to have to force some turnovers, right? I mean, for them to have a chance here, I know they're at home. It's loud in the dome, so that's their best shot here.
I mean, one scout thought they'd be 6-10. Hmm. I mean, with that line, the old line, I would agree.
I don't think that they were as bad as their record said last year, though, too. They had a lot of injuries last season, and now those guys are healthy. I'd expect them to be fairly competitive throughout the season.
Is Green Bay's defense just going to run this offensive line off the field?
Well, you don't know. I mean, we thought that they were going to go for 450 passing yards against that Indianapolis secondary. You just any given Sunday, Bob, that's what they say, right?
They didn't have much of a line either when you think of the Colts. Yeah. They had injuries, too, when you think about it. Yeah. All right.
Finally here, let's just talk about a couple things Green Bay has going on this week. The big injury this week, DJ Smith, lost for the season. The second guy at that position to go down, Desmond Bishop before him. Sounds like Brad Jones is going to step in there. They moved him from outside inside. For now, I mean, they have some other options, but Brad Jones, what do you think? How do they cope with losing DJ Smith?
You know, Brad's like 6'3", 6'3 and a half.
Tall
right?
guy.
Tall for inside. He's going to be playing the will. I don't know. I mean, he's been an outside backer his first couple, 3 years. You know, he actually was in that Giant playoff game last year. He was, and the Detroit game the week before, he was their best pass rusher.
Right.
He had more pressure than he had a sack
outside,
in each game.
Outside line.
Yeah. So now he's inside. Now, you've talked to him about this. What do you think of the move?
Man, you know, he said that he's ready for it, that he knows his responsibilities. They made this move a while back in the spring, so they were preparing him for this. He's a smart guy. I mean, you've talked to him as well. Very smart. Mm-hmm. Has been a core special teams player. I just don't think we've seen enough of him play inside. I can't really draw any conclusions. I saw him in the preseason a little bit. You know, looked like he held up okay, but body type-wise, just so different than DJ Smith. I mean, remember the question with DJ Smith was his height?
Yeah.
Because they thought he was too short coming out of college. This Jones is a taller guy. I don't know. We just have to see him play. He said his past coverage responsibilities wouldn't change too much. I guess that's an area where you think there might be a learning curve, but I don't know. I think they should be concerned just overall because I thought Desmond Bishop losing him was huge. I mean, here's the guy who brought such an intimidating presence to that defense. He was really the soul of the defense in terms of that. They definitely miss him. So to go from Bishop to Smith to Jones, Francois, whoever they put in there, it's a big step down overall.
Yeah. Okay, so They have a whole bunch of inside backers, you know. They could have gone to Francois, even though he's played strong. He knows weak. He's really a bright guy. They could have gone to a Jamari Lattimore, who made the move with Jones this offseason from outside. And they could have gone to Terrell Manning, the rookie. Hmm. Do you see any of those guys as being a better option than Jones?
Not necessarily. I think Jones has more overall experience than anybody else. He's been thrown into the fire since he was a rookie in 09. So that in general, I think, is kind of what they're banking on here. Wouldn't be surprised if a guy like Lattimore got some looks at outside. I mean, they got an injury outside as well. Nick Perry is hurt right now. So it wouldn't surprise me if Lattimore maybe got a little action there as well. I mean, Lattimore and Jones both were seeing time inside and outside back to the spring. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to be as flexible and versatile as they can there. Now, kind of moving on to Perry's injury right now, Eric Walden is the guy there who you're counting on.
You don't see Perry playing this week?
I wouldn't expect it, no.
He didn't practice today, right? No, okay, yeah. So it's Walden with Desmond Moses. I hadn't thought of that. So you think maybe Lattimore is maybe practicing outside this week. Francois has also played outside.
Right.
Yeah, so.
They want versatile guys there. Mm-hmm. And the one guy we haven't even mentioned here, Bob, is probably the guy that needs to step up more than anybody, A.J. Hawk. And he's off to a pretty good start to the season, and now you have to think that he's going to be out there more.
Yeah, the question is, what are they going to do in dime? So in nickel, you think it'll be Jones and Hawk, right?
That'd be my guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in dime, it had been Smith. So the options would be...
You know, they're not saying, but you have to think Hawk.
Yeah.
Maybe they go Francois. Maybe they bring in Jerome McMillan, somebody who's a bigger safety, like we were talking about earlier.
That's the dollar package, right?
Right.
The ill-fated dollar, which got picked apart by...
Drew Brees.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah, well, we'll see what happens. It's right. the good news for Green Bay is that they're playing St. Louis, not exactly an explosive offense this week. So,
right.
You know, they're not going in against Drew Brees and the Saints.
But then they got Jacksonville next week. That could be tough.
That could be.
Blaine Gabbert's going to light it up, huh?
And one more thing before we sign off, Bob. The cornerbacks, Sam Shields, injury opens a door for Casey Hayward, a rookie who I remember the first couple days of training camp. I mean, he really stood out to you immediately in those one-on-one drills because we knew this guy was going to make plays. He knew it was instinctive, that he kind of trusted his hunches at Vanderbilt, but his coverage ability has really been good for a rookie, hasn't it?
Seems to me it has been.
And that's something you saw early on?
He's made two wonderful plays, hasn't he, Tyler?
Yeah.
I mean, he just smothered those Reggie Wayne and who was it this week? I can't remember who smothered somebody. Oh, the kid from Michigan State, Martin.
Mm-hmm.
For picks, I mean, yeah, he shows hands. He shows savvy. Confidence, right? So you think he'll start?
Right now, it appears that way.
And who will be the other corner in dime?
Maybe you're looking at Devon House. He hasn't played yet, but coming back from that shoulder injury of the harness, it sounds like he's ready to go if they need him. So a lot like that defensive line, they have some options right now this year in the back. So a little bit of depth should help him kind of weather these injuries, you would think.
You think they might just stay with Jared Bush?
Yeah. We always forget about Jared Bush, don't we?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know, Bob.
You know, they like to blitz Bush off the slot. You could see that when he had to come in the game and that last week. They blitzed him like six times off the slot. Yeah. So then you play Hayward outside. I don't know.
Yeah. See what happens, Way. I think we're going to sign off here. Unless you got something to add.
I don't think so, Tyler.
All right. Well, how about a little The Offspring? Have you ever heard of this band?
No. Oh, yeah. One of my faves.
Right up there with T.G. Shepherd. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Coda has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring. Right.